We're going to look in Hebrews chapter 6 this morning, and I'm pretty sure you're all aware that this weekend has been one whole year since we've experienced the storm, the hurricane, Helene, here in this area, all across this western North Carolina. And I was thinking about all of this, and I was thinking about, you know, when we think about that hurricane or things like that, we always tend to think how bad it was, because it was bad, and there's no way around that. It was just a bad situation, and it was bad for everybody, and worse for some. So when it first happened, everybody was calling us. Once everything, the communications opened up, people would start calling and asking, "Are you okay?" And everybody, "Okay, how's the church? How's your house? And they ask how bad it is. Did you guys get a bad situation? And I told them, it's bad for everybody out here. And some it's worse. You know, if you were blessed, it was bad. Right? Because there were some that didn't make it. There were some that didn't survive. And there are some that literally lost everything that they own. And life changed. In just a few short hours. Life changed for all of us in that moment. And as I was thinking about all of this, thinking about there's so many different things that happened and different things that we went through together as a church and as a community. There were so many things that went on. It's very difficult to remember every little moment that God showed himself. But there's so many that if I made a list, I would be here for hours writing down all the different times that God showed himself to me. And hopefully y'all noticed. And then it got me to thinking, you know, my wife, and I told y'all a few weeks ago, my wife and I, we moved here and started serving with you guys 7 years ago. And in my opinion, 7 years is a little bit of time. And in that 7 years, there have been two major events that turned the world upside down. And one major event, two major events, but one really that turned my home upside down in that 7 years. And then I got to think, made me start thinking about the last 53 years of my life. And how many times have things happened where I felt like my life was completely changed or turned upside down or everything was wrong when I thought it should have been right? And how many times have I survived, right? And I remember I was out in Swannanoa dealing with one of our project people early on, and some other group that were helping folks, they come up talking to us, and this man kept introducing me to other folks and saying, "Oh, this person's a survivor. This person over here is a survivor." And I finally, as nice as I possibly could, I looked at him. I said, "Man, we're all survivors here. We've all been through this together." And he's not somebody that came from somewhere else. He survived it too. He lives here. And he wasn't trying to be out of the way or say anything wrong. He wasn't seeing the big picture. You see, the fact is we live in a world where bad things happen. We live in a world where we're not immune to natural disasters. We're not immune to hard things like death or sickness. We're not immune to bad people doing bad things, as we have been seeing a lot of in the recent months, especially. So today I want to look at Hebrews, especially chapter 6. I'm probably going to read from verse 17 to 19. In the book of Hebrews, the writer is elevating Jesus, teaching that Jesus is elevated above all, right? He's Lord. He's King. He's the high priest. He is above anything that God has put in place before. Namely, he's greater than the law. He completes the law. He's not equal to the law. He is the law completed. He's greater than Moses, who the Jewish people looked up to and followed his direction and his guidance, because he's the one that talked to God. And anything Moses said was the way to go. Well, he's higher than Moses. He's the high priest. As the old way of doing things, the law, the way God set it up, that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifices, and that's the only way to approach God. Okay, well, that hasn't changed. We just now have a permanent high priest, Jesus. He's the high priest. And he's the high priest forever, and he's the only way to go before God. In fact, we know that Jesus, being our Savior, because of his work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, he is our Savior should we desire to surrender to that. Should we want him as our Savior, he is our Savior. He's our King. He's our Lord. So in light of that, or in knowledge of that, we can do a comparison of all the bad things that can happen, right? And it doesn't change anything about Jesus. Storms, hardships, deaths, wickedness, any bad thing that can happen doesn't change. Jesus is our hope and our strength. Jesus is what helps us carry on and get through, right? He's the anchor that holds us steady in every storm. Not only does it hold the anchor hold us steady in every storm, but he also propels us or prepares us for the future. He strengthens us for what's coming next in the world. And by the way, before I forget to point it out, some of the storms that we live through, we create ourselves. Does that make sense? And I'm saying that because many times our behavior and our decisions create storms in our life that we try to blame on somebody else or something else. And we become a victim. And we get into this victim mentality in which, you know, this whole thing about, it is true that we all had survived this hurricane season last year. We're still here. Those of us who did survive, we're here. We survived the pandemic. That shut the world down, y'all. That changed the way we think. That changed the way we live. It changed everything. It actually challenged our faith, did it not? Because at that point, and during the pandemic, the world was trying to tell us how to react to it. In many cases, trying to force us how to react to it. And maybe not all of that was a challenge to our faith, but some of it was. Because all of it was driven by, you need to be afraid. You need to fear. It's one thing to be careful and it's one thing to be safe. I think the Lord wants us to approach that without fear. We're not to be fearful people. We're not to be afraid of every little thing that goes on. We're not to be afraid of the storms of life, the natural storms or the storms that man creates or the wickedness that comes our way. So how do we stay faithful? How do we stand strong? How do we hold on to that which would carry us through? Well, Jesus is the answer. Let's say amen and go home, right? I'm just kidding. Don't get excited. Look at verse 17 of chapter 6. I'm just going to read through it all the way to verse 19. The writer of Hebrews is describing how Jesus is the high priest here. And the Jewish community would understand all of this. He says, in the same way, God desiring even more to show you, to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. In other words, if you read the rest of chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews is saying, God swears by himself that he'll be faithful, basically. God's faithfulness can be counted on. God's faithfulness is true. It is everything to us. Verse 17, in the same way, God desiring more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. A refuge is a safe place. And then in verse 19, he says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. All right. And then it goes on in verse 20, just to finish it off, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, which Melchizedek, a whole other Bible study about Melchizedek. Two other places in the Bible describe Melchizedek or talk about Melchizedek, and it is a, I believe it is a two times plus this time when Jesus is showing himself as the high priest or in the presence of these people. Point is what I want to focus on is he's saying the hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What is an anchor of the soul? What anchors our soul? Right? Because that's the real concern, isn't it? And I think too many times we as people, as human beings, we have this reaction that when anxieties and fears and concerns and whatever other emotions come along with the things that happen in our world, the storms that come along, the challenges that come along, or whatever you might consider life-changing, those things are triggered by things that are happening in the world, and I think God would have us be self-controlled, in control of our emotions, not that we don't have them, but that we don't let the emotions control us, that we don't live in fear, and that our souls are anchored in Jesus so that we can survive storms, we can outlast storms, not only survive and outlast, but we grow, actually, and we get stronger because of them. So we're looking at this memory, right? Because I'm torn about this, y'all. This is just me personally. It's my personality. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging what's going on in the world and remembering what happened a year ago. But there's a part of me that is like, okay, I don't want to get to a point where I'm celebrating an anniversary of a bad thing. Does that make sense? And there's a part of me that, why would we relive it all again? Make sense? However, there's a larger part of me that says we should not and dare not forget all the things that God did in the middle of this last year in this storm and act like it never happened just because we're getting closer to our normal life again, the way we were living before the storm, right? Which not everybody is, by the way. It's still a year out, and there's still people that aren't back in their homes, and there's still people that are working on their lives, trying to figure it out. There's still a lot of work to be done. It's still going on. I think we would be in danger of taking refuge in our comfort zones instead of taking refuge in our Savior on a regular basis. So let me just say this. This is what I just read. The anchor that holds in the storm is Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our anchor. He is our strength. When it talks about verse 19, the end of verse 19, it says that he enters within the veil, right? When Jesus died on the cross, actually died, and it says that the veil was torn in that moment. It was earth was shaking, and it was a great, intense moment. Well, this is the high priest going into the presence of God. He's like, look, Jesus resurrected from the dead and went to be with the Father, right? And we go to God through the blood of Christ. That's what Hebrews is explaining to us. We no longer have to have a human being to talk to God for us. We have the ability, through the blood of Christ, to talk to God ourselves. And because of that, and God being in the presence, Jesus being in the presence of our Father, we have access to Him, and it's what anchors us. Anchors have to be grabbing onto something solid. If you know anything about an anchor, you don't have to be a sailor to know. If you put an anchor on a concrete floor, it probably won't grab. There's nothing to grab onto. It has to be in something that it can dig into and hold on to and will not let go until you intend for it to be let go. Well, Jesus, being our anchor, being with the Father, being one with the Father, that's the most solid foundation we can find for an anchor. But if your chain is not connected to that anchor, what good is it? Right? Anchor needs a chain for the vessel to be held. And as we strengthen our faith, as we experience God in our life, and over again, He continues to show us His faithfulness and His greatness and His holiness, it's more and more links in our chain. So the chain is our faith that holds on to the anchor, you see. So as I'm looking through this here, we're looking at this hurricane a year ago that we're still living through, getting better. A lot of great things have been done, and people are getting back to normal, but it's not done yet. We still got more to do. Many people tied down all their possessions. They secured their homes the best they could, the best they knew how to do. But the real safety was being anchored in your faith to Jesus. Because what do you do when you're sitting on your rooftop and there's nothing but water around? What do you do about the ladies that I heard were riding their house down the river? They're like sitting on the roof and their house is floating down the river. These older ladies. At some point, I would imagine you just forget about all your worldly stuff. Because what's next is your life, your existence. And sometimes the storms of life cause us to realize that there really is no hope except in Jesus. There really is no strength except in Christ. If for some reason the Lord allowed all of it to be taken away, all of the worldly possessions, all of the things that we find in our comfort zone, if the Lord just decides to take them away from one storm or another, would we be okay? Would we still have strength? Would we survive? And you know, there's nothing more common than being at funerals. Almost every funeral I've ever participated in, somebody comes to me and says, "I don't understand how anybody survives this kind of thing without Jesus in their life." And it happens all the time. People who aren't saved die, and their family members aren't saved, and they die. They don't, and they don't know Jesus. And the ones that are left, they have no anchor. They have nothing to hold on to but whatever the world offers. And don't you know, in the middle of Helene, this hurricane, how many people went through this hurricane and did not have Jesus in their life? How many people went through all of this storm or went through the pandemic and didn't know God? Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to turn. It was like hopelessness in their minds. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't there. It wasn't that Jesus didn't care. And it wasn't that God didn't do things for them, you see. That's what we were trying to do, is love people so that they might see that God is in the middle of their storm. They might see that there's an anchor to hold on to. That's what it was all about. That's what these baskets and these quilts that we're fixing to do. We're still pointing people to Jesus. We're still trying to say, look, there's people all around the world that are praying to God for you. And they don't have to know God for us to love them, right? We're just saying, look, we're anchored in Jesus. We're anchored in our Savior. He is our hope. He is our strength. We want you to know Him. We want you to have the same strength that we have. We want you to be stronger because of the storms of your life. Life, the storms are going to come. Sickness and loss are going to come. But we can declare that our anchor always holds, never fails. God's promises are always true, that He would never leave us. He would never abandon us in the middle of our hardships. What kind of God would we have if we could only praise Him in the good times? If we only had reason to praise Him for the great times, the mountaintop experiences. If He gives us everything, then what kind of God would that be? It's like the challenge for Job, right? Satan said, He only worships you because you give Him everything. I'd worship you too if you give me everything. And everything was taken from him. God allowed everything to happen to him, and he never stopped proclaiming God as his God. I wonder if, as we reflect on that hurricane, as we reflect on that time of hardship, and it was hard for all of us. It was challenging for everybody. None of us have been through those things before. None of us have been through the pandemic before. And the personal things that some of us have experienced, we've never been through that before. But here we are. Here we are worshiping our Lord. Here we are praising his name. Here we are still moving forward. Because one thing I've learned in all of this, I knew it before, but I've learned to pay more attention to it, that life goes on. Time does not stop because a storm happens. Time moves on. It don't seem like it's been a year, does it? But at the same time, just what's happened in your life and what's happened in my life and what's happened here at the church, a lot of stuff has gone on. A lot of stuff has gone on. And a lot of people have come here to do a lot of great things for other people. Because God is faithful in the storm. Now, in point number two is, this anchor doesn't work unless we're connected to it. We have to put our faith in Christ. We have to put our faith in this anchor. I was thinking about some extra other texts about when I was thinking about all of this, and it can't be about looking backwards always. God doesn't want us to be people who are living in the past. And we talk about this in Bible study this morning. Surprise, surprise. We can't just forget everything. Right? And it was a different subject matter in there. But we can't just move forward and say, I'm not going to think about that anymore. I don't believe that's the way the Lord wants us to grow. I think he wants us to see what he's done. I think he wants us to learn from what he's done. I think he wants us to grow from what he's done and move forward and be stronger people because of what he's done in our life. You see. And I wonder, I wish we could know how many people in our community got saved and know God because of this storm. I wish we could know. I know there's some. I know there has to be some. You don't live through that without at least considering, is there a God here? Now, some of those people, they might have, in the darkness of night when there was no power and no communications, you can't see the hand in front of your face. Y'all remember that? Those are the times when most everybody will say, I wonder if God is real, because if he is, where is he right now? You know, those kind of thoughts come to people's minds. Then the power comes back on, communication starts happening, and then the world starts putting itself back together. And over time, we go back to the old way. We go back to, okay, I can take care of myself again. I don't really need to think about God anymore. But for the believers, for us, for the church, it's a matter of, okay, one more time God is showing himself to me. One more time God is showing himself to be just who the Bible says he is. Like I've never seen it before. And I think most of y'all realize, in the early part of the storm, I was taxed pretty heavily. Not with what was going on at my house, but what we were trying to do here. There was a lot going on here, praise the Lord. And we did, y'all, we together did some amazing things for the community. Praise the Lord. We were able to be the church or be part of the church in this area. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to do it. We didn't even get asked, do we want to do it? It just started happening. And decisions had to be made and direction had to be given and all of that. One after the every day, something was going on. Multiple things were going on. And as a preacher and as one of the, I guess, leaders of this congregation, I felt the pressure of, okay, I got to help people know what we're doing. I got to help people figure out everything to do. Decision after decision. And the whole time, the entire time, every time, I never got to make any of those decisions. I never did. I thought I was trying to, and I thought I was trying to help get us to where we need to be, but every time I turn around, I'm like, okay, this needs to be taken care of, and that needs to be, and every time I turn around, after I notice something needs to be taken care of, I turn around, and the Lord already had it taken care of. Somebody showed up and took care of it, or God sent someone else to drop some stuff off. It just kept happening, y'all. And I got to see how the Lord dealt with victims who are trying to be his church, you see. Because the most challenging thing for all of us is we were trying to help other people. We were trying to love on people in their time of need while we were in need ourselves, while we were the victims also. We were going through the storm, and we're trying to help people who were going through the storm. So God sent people that didn't go through the storm from everywhere. They came from everywhere, and they kept coming, and they kept doing, and they kept coming, and they kept doing. So many people came from all over the country to this church and to every other church that was out here. And I kept telling all those folks when they showed up, that you guys are amazing. You're doing great work for the people of our community. But the best thing you're doing is showing us that we're not alone in this storm. You're showing us that God sees it all. And that we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have all the strength. God does it. That's what the anchor does. Sometimes that faith chain gets pulled tight, don't it? You're still anchored, but your chain is tight. Real tight. We should be stronger because of all of that, because we went through all of that, because we saw what God had been doing and what he was doing and did do. There's no way that a church of our size should have been able to do any of what we did. Not because you're not great folks, and not because you don't love people, it's because we don't have enough people to do it all like that. That's just a fact. What God did at this church for over the last year is a miracle. And it's all because we were willing to let God use all of us and let him use his church. That's it. I could not sit down and tell you how we did all that. If somebody came to me and said, how'd y'all get all that organized? How'd y'all do this? I don't know. Except for God did it. God made it happen along the way. And we just kept adjusting to what God was doing. And he kept bringing people to help us do it. And then we'd go home and we'd sleep and we'd get back up and do it some more until there was no more to do. And then it eased off. And it became a little bit different and a little bit different. We were all taxed, weren't we? We were all taxed physically, emotionally, and even spiritually for this last year. But it's my belief that we are all a lot stronger than we were last year in our faith. We're all able to say how great and amazing our God is because of what he did over this last year with this hurricane relief. Because of how he got us through the pandemic and all of that situation. One of the hardest moments of the pandemic for this preacher was the first Sunday I had to come in here by myself. And y'all weren't here. I don't know. That might have been worse than the hurricane for me, because you're my family. We're God's family. We belong together. We worship together. We serve together. We suffer together. We eat barbecue together. We do it all together for his glory. It's what Jesus died for. It's what the anchor does. The anchor keeps us in the storm so that when the storm is over, we have the strength to go be the church. Jeremiah, these are the scripture verses that I thought about while I'm thinking about this. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." It's not like the storm surprised God. It's not like the pandemic surprised God. It's not like the death in our families surprised God, or the heartaches or the financials or whatever the troubles are, God knows about. Nothing surprises God. And the anchor always holds. And if we're paying attention and we're tuned in to who we are in Christ, then our faith will be strengthened through it all. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." You know, when I first started preaching, my view of what I'm doing as a preacher was way different. I was barely on the tracks because I did not have a full understanding of what the Lord was calling me to do. I think I have a better understanding. I may still not have a full understanding, but I have a better understanding. But God knew what he was doing with me. And he knew that I didn't have a full understanding. He knew I didn't even have a good understanding at that time. But he's got a plan for me, and he's got a plan for you. And all of the calamity and the disasters and the heartaches and the troubles and the storms and the problems we create for ourselves, all of that God uses to get us where he's taking us, where he's using us, making us who we are and what he intended us to be. "He began a good work in you and will perfect it," it says, "until the day of Christ Jesus." This is what hope does. This is where we get hope. It's like, oh, this is bad. This is real bad. This is scary. This is traumatizing. But because we know Jesus, and because we know he's our anchor, and because we know our faith is put in him, we know that this too will pass. And if I stay close to God, I will be strengthened because of it. I will know something more. I will be able to trust him more. I will be able to see more of him. I will have more confidence in who I am in Christ, and who you are in Christ, and who we are in Christ. Because God's doing this, y'all. And then finally, 1 Corinthians, this one here is, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That one there is more about going about the Lord's business, making disciples, and being the Christian in this world, showing people who Jesus is, being a witness. Just because we have a storm, just because we have a pandemic, just because we have life issues, doesn't mean we get to stop being the Christian in this world. We don't stop being a witness. In fact, that's when we need to be the witness the most. And that's why this time last year began a journey for us to be Jesus with skin on, even though we were hurting just as much as the people that needed the help. And that's why God sent the rest of his church to come alongside of us and give us what we needed and give us the strength we needed to continue to do the Lord's work in the middle of the storm. And I would say to you that all of that happened for God's purposes, so that we could serve the community, so that we could be what Jesus died for us to be. And sometimes I think I'm as guilty as anybody else. I sit around thinking, okay, well, that was last year. It's over with now. Let's move on. Well, first off, it's not over. There's still people out there that need help from the storm. But even, let's say, 5 years from now, surely, maybe, most of it will be over with. Some will still linger around. My point is, this is just part of the church's work in the world, this hurricane, the pandemic. Anything else that goes on, hunger, world hunger, whatever. It's all part of what's going on in the world. There's always going to be bad things. There's always going to be storms. There's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be sickness. There's always going to be wickedness. There's always going to be something that God wants to use the church to respond to. Right? And this church, Oak Grove, us, me and you, we don't have an excuse because we've seen God use us now in these days. We've seen God use Oak Grove to be his church in this community in a great way, in a big way, in an overwhelming way. So we don't have any excuse. Because no matter what we do, and no matter what happens in the world, no matter how sunny it gets, there's always work to do. There's always somebody to serve. There's always somebody to love. Right? And if we live long and have old age, we would be able to look back on our life and say, yeah, that Helene business was a bad situation, but so was the pandemic, but so was this, and so was that. And so, and you get this long list of bad things. So we can either be people who complain and have all this agony over the bad things that have happened in life and how much the world has changed and things aren't the same and the storms have changed and we've lost it. Or we can look back and say how amazing our God is. Especially when he carried us through the hard times. Right? Some of those hard times are permanent, aren't they? Can't change what's permanent. When people die, it's over. You can't change that. When people get sick with things that aren't curable, you can't change that unless the Lord does a miracle. But what you can change is whether a person is affected by God or not in the middle of it. What you can do is impact somebody's life for Jesus in the middle of their storm, in the middle of their hardship. You can impact somebody's life for Jesus in the middle of your own hardship and your own storm, right? God wants us to move forward being strengthened by what he's done in the past, being more excited, more confident, more courageous, have more wisdom about who you are and your witness for Christ than you did before because of what's happened in your past and God's faithfulness in your past. The world wants us to look back and be, woe is me. God must not be real because look how many bad things have happened in my life. Am I supposed to quit because something bad happened to me? Am I supposed to quit because I didn't think God was fair? Right? You guys know what life is like. There's days when I have my days. I sit on the front porch in the rocking chair sometimes, and I'm just like, you know what? That's just not fair. The things I can't change. If I sit there long enough, the Lord straightens me out. He's patient with me. We don't have to be perfect all the time, but at the same time, we can't live in what's wrong because we got to see what God's doing in the middle of what's wrong. So here we are moving forward. James, me and James are buddies. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, 2, 3, and 4, he says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Right away, some people are like, I'm out. I can't do it. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, you see. And let endurance have its perfect result. That's interesting. Perfect result. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That sounds great. That sounds really good to me. I like perfect and I like lacking nothing. Right? I like those things. But it takes endurance. And the only way to get endurance is to understand that God is working on things. God is doing something even in the hard times. Consider it pure joy. It doesn't mean you have to be happy about hard times. It just means you have to understand that whatever God's doing, he's involved and he's faithful, and it's going to be amazing. Now, here we are a year later, after Helene, and we're a church family here in almost 2026, if the Lord lets us have it. If Jesus don't come back, we have 2026 to look forward to. And we come to men's meeting. I'm going to try to talk about some of what might happen in 2026 and the next 3 or 4 years. And then after that, we're going to try to share it with anybody else that wants to know about it. But we got to get it figured out first. Because here's one thing that happened in the middle of that storm, y'all already know. Brother Francis passed away. We lost him. But he left a blessing to this church that we all believe God wants us to use for his glory. So we're going to work on that. So two things going into 2026. God, we have not only survived the storm, Helene, but we've actually persevered and we have endured that. I like the word endured better because survivor is just a, I don't think the Lord just wants us to survive everything. I think he wants us to excel and persevere. Endure and then persevere. That's future. That's what's next, right? So we look at, okay, I look at all the things that happened, and I'm like, okay, well, that was bad. That was horrible. That was stressful. But God did some amazing things. What must he be preparing us for next? What must be on the agenda next for this church, for me, for you personally? God is strengthening me for something. He's strengthening you for something. He's strengthening all the believers out here for something. What is it going to be? I know for sure it's going to be so that we can go and love people and do ministry. I know for sure it's going to be so we can help people know God, know Jesus, and maybe get saved if they choose to do so. I know that's what it's about. But the how is the big question, right? What's next? Well, part of it is our quilt things here, our baskets, our housewarming gifts. We're going to keep trying to touch people. We're going to keep trying to make contact with people. Keep trying to reach out and just make subtle moments of witnessing to people in this community. And we're not going to just do it because Matthew 28 tells us to do it. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's not the real reason to go do it, is it? The real reason to go do it is because you love people, because you want people to know God, because you know that they need the Lord just the same as you do. And if they don't have an anchor, if they don't have the anchor, then they're just drifting around with no hope. We've endured. Now God is calling us to sail because, you know, every ship that's anchored, once the storms are over, they pull up the anchor and they go on about their business, don't they? So that's what we need to do. That's what we need to pray about. That's what we need to ask God for direction. Get out the spiritual compasses in the Bible, in the Word, in the Spirit of God that lives in us. You know, everything is about glorifying God in every moment of our life. And sometimes I get wrapped up in thinking, okay, here's a moment where we need to deal with the problem. And then once the problem's over, then I go back to doing ministry, finding ways to love people. And God's saying, that's not how it is. God's saying, how do you love people all the time? How do you be the witness all the time? You know, you don't get to have a headache and be rude to people. You don't get to have a headache and not know Jesus. To be simple. Right? If my wife and I want to have a headache and not talk to each other, that's different. But I don't get to have a headache and say, I'm not going to be Jesus today. I'm not going to be Jesus with skin on today. I'm not going to do that. I can't do it. Because sometimes the Lord uses your bad day or your illness or your stress as the witness. As the moment. Because the world is watching us. They see us. They saw us go through the storm with them. They saw us up here every week, every day for several months at a time. They saw us when we came to their house, cut up trees. There was one man that lived right over there off of 191. We cut a tree off of his house. Older man, I think probably in the almost 80. Him and his wife, they couldn't barely open the screen door, let alone cut a tree off their house. Guys went over there and cut the tree, and then I went over there to talk to him afterwards, and he's standing there with his coffee, shaking. I don't know if he was shaking because he had some kind of sickness or because he was getting emotional. But he was tearing up. He's like, why would all these people come over here and cut this tree for me? Y'all don't even know me. I said, well, all I can say to him is, we know that God loves you, so we love you. And you need help. And he's like, I don't have no money. I said, I don't mean anybody ask you for money. Just stand on a porch and look at your pile of wood over there and praise the Lord. That's all you have to do. Right? And that's it. That's all there is to it sometimes. Sometimes hope, open up the door, hold the door for somebody. You don't have to talk about God. They know where it's coming from. People know when they're being loved. I pray for opportunities to talk to people. People regret asking me about the Lord sometimes, because then they got half a day stuck with me talking. You guys are like, I know how it is. Y'all, I want y'all to be encouraged, because everything that we've been through as a church, everything, all of it, for the last time I've been here at least, it's all I can talk about. God's been in the middle of it all, and he's made us who we are because of it all. And it may not have all been perfect, and we may not have all made the best decisions all across the board all the time, but God's been in it all. And we are a strong church. We are strong people here. And the reason I know that is because I know all of y'all love the Lord. And every time I present something to y'all, you do your best to get on board with it. Every time the Lord puts something in front of us, y'all just start showing up. No preacher can ask for any more than that. I'm blessed. Preachers don't last 3 years on average at the church before they quit or get fired. If they last longer than 3 years and it's not good, they usually get fired because it starts wearing them down. They start doing things to get fired. 3 to 4 years is how long a preacher lasts before he goes to another church. 7 years, here I am. Isn't it great? I think it's great. I hope y'all do. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying the Lord is, that's how we're blessed. We have no desire to go anywhere. We hope the Lord don't lead us nowhere else. We want to see what the Lord's doing here. And everything, the statistics that are being taught are 7 years is a sweet spot for ministry. They tell you for church growth, when you go to church growth classes, They say it takes 7 years to get any momentum to do anything, to make a church go. Now, I don't go by statistics. I go by what God does. See what I'm saying? God don't really care about statistics. But I had to know them because they're going to give me a test, and I had to write down the right things. But they just say, generally, after 7 years, you start getting momentum, and the church starts growing. Well, here we are. Right? So I'm expecting some momentum, so let's get busy. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with y'all. We're just going to keep trusting the Lord, because I do believe that God's doing great things here. And part of what you guys can do is pray about these things and talk about these things with us. Figure out some things we can put in here. I think you've made a list, right, of things that might be good to put in here. I think we're going to do, if you get something off the list, get 10 of them, because there's 10 baskets, or is we do it different? Okay, so right now there's not much in here because we just started all of this. We have a lot of hand sanitizer, like lots still left over in the barn out there. Do not bring hand sanitizer. All right, I'm almost done. I'm gonna shut this down. I know I'm way over, but look at these right here, y'all. Some people spent their time on these things. I mean, this has not happened overnight. And there's a 30 of these, all different ones. And you give this to somebody and tell them that this is a reminder that somebody's praying for you. Every time they look at it or touch it, they're going to know that somebody's praying for them, that somebody's talking to God for them. That's the kind of stuff that we're looking to be doing here. So work on that. I'm going to pray and shut it down, because I know you guys are ready to go. I get excited, y'all, when I talk about what the Lord's done. I get excited about where we're going to go. Look around the room. There's people traveling. There's a few people sick. Best thing you could do when you see somebody not here, send them a text message or call them and say, hey, miss you at church. Love you. Right? You don't have to beg them to come to church. Just say, miss you at church. I love you. Let's stand together and we'll sing.